Welcome to the Irish Tech News Podcast, where we will bring you some of the most interesting interviews and features from the world of tech. Visit irishtechnews.ie and check out our podcast section to explore all of our previous episodes. You can subscribe to our podcast using whatever your favorite app or service is by visiting anchor.fm/irish-tech-news.
Hi, welcome to the Tech News Podcast. Today we've got on again Donal McGuinness from Prompt, who we had on last year. So how are you doing, Donal?
Hi, how are you?
Good, thanks. Happy New Year to you as well.
Happy New Year.
Thanks. Now, before we start, tell us a bit again about who you are so people can remember you. A quick reminder.
I'm the CEO at a company called Prompt, and we're a payment orchestration platform that juggles card and open banking payments for merchants typically looking to do high volumes and high value transactions.
You know, today's podcast we're going to be talking about email and text scam, mainly like "Hey Mom" scam, "I lost my phone," or the ones where you get like someone says your Revolut account is overdrawn or something like that.
Yeah, I mean it's like everybody. I don't know if I'd go as far as to say the majority, but a large number of my inbound text messages are fraudulent.
Yeah.
It's really important to be aware of them, you know, and the main thing I always say to people, and because a core part of our business is sending out text messages that would contain a link.
Yeah.
To bring people to a website to pay for something. The most important thing about anything is context. And of course the scammers know that, so they tend to use things like the road toll or things that people use that might have a consequence attached to it if you don't, you know. So, you know, if you don't pay your couple of euro for the road toll,
yeah,
you've got a fine coming, maybe that's 80 or 90 euro. So they play on fear and they try and pick things that that people use. So like it's pretty easy. I don't use the M50 that often. So when I get the M50 scam text in, I know it's a scam, right?
Yeah.
But the most important thing I think is it's context. And And when you see a link in there, to look at the URL, and it needs to be from the person, you know. So in the road toll example, it needs to have eflow.ie in there, you know, not eflowpayments.ie or eflow/something. So and once you do that, then you're pretty safe. And it's the same for all of them. All the on-post scams, the URL is always a play on the correct URL, but it's never on-post.ie or on-post.com.
And also I found that when you go to like an on-post one, you see a website looks so like an on-post website, but when you see links all around, the only links that work are the ones that allow you to go to your payment to pay for it. Every link there, like if you go to About Us or anything else or a sitemap, those links don't work. And I'm getting basically that all the time, but during Christmas time, it's when people might get a stuff like on post saying about a package, and because you're getting stuff sent to you from overseas, maybe you bought some products, you're assuming that's what you bought. Mm. And you're going to fall for it. Whereas if that same text happened to you, say, during the summer, you're less inclined to fall for it. So it's during the Christmas time or near someone's birthday when you're more inclined to actually go with it, because human nature is, it could be what I ordered. And then during the summer, if you're clicking it, it's because greed kicks in. And you think, oh, yeah, that could be. I wonder what it is I could be getting. So you key in your details. Next thing you know, you're giving the scammer access to your account details of how to pay for things.
Yeah, and, you know, the old story, if it's too good to be true, it is.
Yeah.
Right? And, you know, people can get a good deal now and again on something, but if something is ridiculously cheap, it's just not real, and that's the end of it. You know, there's some sort of a scam involved. Either you're going to pay for something that you're never going to get, or they're just trying to capture your details so that they can get access to your account.
I mean, 20 years ago, we used to get the Nigerian print scam, and that would come through quite regularly. And as people were more and more, and the people who had who used email then, were people basically who had money because they never could afford a computer. Nowadays, we've got a computer in our hand and we use smartphones. People are now thinking, we're going to move from email to text, and then people text. And you're getting a lot of that more, or phone calls now to your mobile device, because we use that more. And because also nowadays, when you're accessing certain services, for example, government services or other things, you're now been told to go online rather than write in. So because of that, they're playing on the fact that everything's online, you have to access it. That's what they're doing, which is scary.
Mm. Yeah, and the other thing, which is really poor form, like it's all poor form, obviously, but like my landline at home, most people that ring me on my mobile, or they'll text me and be ringing or whatever. Pretty much 100% of the time when my home phone rings, it's a scam.
Yeah.
And if I'm working from home, it doesn't happen in the evening time, but during the daytime, the phone would ring, and it's clearly randomly aimed at people that might be in an older demographic that answer the house phone, and it's usually about it starts out with a conversation about your broadband performance the one I had last time was somebody purporting to be from Air, and I use Virgin Media. And you know, you go through the whole conversation, and like, if you happened to have a problem with your broadband and you were an Air customer, then you'd probably get a longer way into the call before you realized it was a scam, if you did.
Yeah.
And these people are very they're like perseverant. I mean, they'll keep going and keep going. So I tend oftentimes not to answer, bother to answer.
Yeah,
the
well, in my parents' house, used to get a lot of scam calls, so they put their phone next directory.
Mm.
And right now, when they know someone's ringing them, they know basically it's either family or friends. But I remember a few years ago, my parents got a scam. A guy rang up, pretending to be from a Microsoft helpline, and he said, there's a problem with your version of Windows. We'd like you to go through with it. So I was on the phone with the guy, and the guy had an Indian accent, so I knew right away he was from a call center in India. So I said to the guy, I'm happy to go through it. He said, okay, first of all, turn the computer on. I turned it on, and he says, okay, now I want you, when your laptop is beside me, good now, I want you to log in. So I went to log in, and he says, do you know coming to this place where you have to key in your password? Yeah, I did that. Just now we're going to install software in a few minutes on your computer that allows me access, like a VPN, allows me to access your system. He goes, that's fine. And then I said, is your computer logged in yet? Yeah, it's logged in now. He says, okay, fine. Now, can you see the start button? And I said, no. He says, what? He says, no, I don't see the start button. So he went through to me again and said, okay, can you shut down and restart the computer and we'll start again? So we did this. And he said, okay, now you've logged in. Yeah. Now, when you logged in and asked your password, did a Windows logo appeared? I said, no, it didn't appear. He goes, that's very strange, but never mind, we'll keep going. So I logged in, and he goes, I can't see the start button. I said, no. And he said, how do you access your files? And I said to him, actually, there never has been a start button on my computer, ever. And he goes, why? He said, because I'm on a Mac. And then the guy went and started swearing at me. He goes, oh, sorry, I thought you were with Microsoft. Why are you swearing at me? And the guy put the phone down. I spent about 5-6 minutes with this guy. This basically, I thought, the more time spends with me, less time spends scamming somebody else. But this guy had no, they're always assuming people got a Windows PC. That's what they're assuming. And a lot of these scams you get are aimed for people who've got the biggest model load, which is basically Windows PCs, because they're used the most in the world. You very rarely get a scam aimed at a Mac, because not many people are using Macs compared to Windows. You'll find that as well.
And it's I've done that from time to time, and tried to have a bit of bit of fun out of it, you know. And yeah, they do get quite aggressive when you when you call them out. But really, what it's all about is at the end of the day, because most systems they're trying to get into, whether they're payment systems or bank accounts, they all have a two-factor authentication now. So they're trying to either A, steal your identity, or B, get you to do something silly where they get you to basically do it for them.
Yeah. Right?
And that's where, although SMS is the sort of default method everyone uses for second-factor authentication, it's not hugely secure. You know, it's moderately secure. So there are a lot of systems that banks would use that are just more secure than just SMS OTP. But the old scam, which is the account takeover scam, which is getting harder and harder to do, is you take in this country, there's three mobile phone providers. I'll walk into Vodafone and I'll say, hi, I'm let's just say I happen to know you're a Vodafone subscriber.
Yeah.
I'll walk in and say, I've lost my phone. It's this number. My name is Joe Bloggs. If they don't do the proper identity check, as in, have you got a passport or a form of ID, which is generally done quite well now, I could end up walking out with a SIM that's your number.
Yeah.
Then, of course, it's easier for me once I get hold of your bank details. The SMS is going to come to me because I've taken your number. So there's a lot of things going on, but the main one, of course, that we all see is it's just the email or the text or the phone call particularly the SMS, which everyone's getting. You know, they're just spraying these out to the whole country. My kids get it. Everyone gets it. And I have a bet into them not to do anything with any of these messages. And I see it myself. Sometimes I have to look and give it a second look, because particularly over the Christmas, when you know you do have a parcel coming in, and you have to really look at it. I had a weird experience before Christmas where I had a legitimate request in from on post. And there was just something about it that, and I happened to be in town and I happened to be beside a post office.
Yeah.
And it said, pay this online or in the post office. And I thought, you know what, I'm going to walk into the post office.
Yeah.
So I walked into the post office and they told me to ignore it. But it was real.
Yeah.
So when I got home then and properly sat down and had a look at it, I realized it was something that we'd bought before Christmas. So I paid it. It was for the duty, you know.
Yeah.
It was coming in from America. You need eyes in the back of your head.
And the problem is, you said earlier, they're talking to an older audience. They're the ones who aren't going to understand what's going on. Like, if they talk to someone like tech savvy like me or you or someone younger, who know will kind of have the wits about it, and they won't fall for it, but an older person will. And another example is when you get the hey, mom or dad scam. I've lost my phone. I'm using this phone to mom to text you. Can you save me some money?
Yeah, and I haven't got that one yet, but I've heard people on the radio talking about it. Obviously in those situations, people tend to jump when there's something going on with their kids, you know.
Yeah.
But it's those things it's usually things where there's a consequence or if there's a perception of a consequence if you don't do it. And that's when you have to be really careful.
Well, especially if you got kids who are like traveling abroad, like when people are younger, they might take a year back and go to Asia and traveling through there. And that's a chance when you get that email, you think, oh, my son, daughter, they're in Asia. It has to be them. You don't know otherwise. You've no proof. Whereas if they live in the same country as you and just down the road or same city, you know it couldn't be them.
Yeah. Yeah, funny, my son did a J1 last summer and I was almost surprised I didn't get a text, something in relation to him. But that'd be the type of thing where you'd randomly maybe think there's a chance someone's on a J1, because a lot of people do it.
Yeah.
Um, that in the summer, but it's that type of thing that's targeted. But the thing for me is always check the URL and read it properly, and it has to say, it has to have the actual URL of the company that you're expecting it to come from.
Yeah.
It doesn't, just ignore it.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm lucky that I'm on the, when I get, sometimes I get these phone calls, and most times I won't answer them. Because my phone has the ability that it can tell me, like, if someone comes ringing me as peer company, if their phone number is in an email they sent me, it knows this may be so-and-so. So I know it's them. So the most times, and the thing is, and most time when you get these phone calls, you don't answer it. They never leave voicemail. And if they do leave voicemail, or they decide they're going to, or if it's important, they'll call you back. So I wouldn't worry about missing one of those phone calls, because the idea is, if you don't know what it is, don't answer it. Because if it's important to call you back or leave your voicemail. If you don't leave voicemail, you know you've been scammed.
Yeah. And do you know what? I rarely even listen to voicemails anymore. And I think a lot of people are like that. Everything's done by text, you know, which feeds into this, and a lot of people I know, they've switched off their voicemail, or they'll have their voicemail message will say, don't leave me a message, send me a text, you know, so the whole world has gone away from voice and towards text, you know.
But also, one important thing as well is make sure that if you do voicemail activated, make sure your password can't be easily accessed, because I've had it years ago when I first got a mobile phone. 0000 was my default. I didn't change it. And one of my friends changed my voicemail and pranked me with it. So it was changed. So make sure that if you're still using it, make sure nobody can access it.
Yeah. No, and it's the same like with passwords, you know, most people use the same password for everything, you know. And I think what's changed, maybe people have gone, I'll make it more secure, so it might be longer and a bit more complicated, but it's still the same password for everything. You know, so as soon as that's compromised, there's a fair chance that somebody will log in using your email and that password into other systems, and they'll get into your account.
Yeah, and also make sure it's not personal. Like if you have a son or a daughter named after them, or a wife or a pet named after them, or named after the date of birth of an important event in your life, people might actually know that. Oh, if they're serious to scam you, they'll know a bit more about you. Like so make sure that you actually don't do that.
Yeah. So I think bit by bit, and I think people in their work practices, you know, things like cybersecurity and all these things are becoming more and more of a day-to-day issue. Yeah. And so I think the good work practices are being pushed down on people a lot more as to what you should and shouldn't do. And and it does feed quite well into your day-to-day life as well, because, you know, it's not just work issue, you know, a corporate issue. It's at home. Everybody's trying to get a hold of your cash.
Now, the thing is, if you're working from home, you don't have the same kind of firewall protections and a security you have in the office. So it's easier for you to get a phishing email than it would be in work. So be careful of that as well.
Yeah, and I suppose today, you know, people are more working from home, or they're a bit hybrid, or they're in and out, and systems aren't like they were even 10 years ago, where generally people were probably on an Exchange server and it was all Active Directory and everybody was logging into a network. People don't do that anymore. It's all cloud computing, and it's all it's just a much more difficult environment to manage, and there's a big learning for everybody, and probably all the things you come across at home, and the scammy texts and things like that are all part of a journey where people realize that not to be paranoid, but sort of don't believe anything, but everybody's out to get you.
Yeah, because years ago, when you went to a work environment, you weren't allowed to bring your own device to work. BYD wasn't advisable. Now it's being your network, because you're at home, and your network you have at home to access internet won't be as stringent and strict as the one you use in the office. So that means you've got to take extra special care to make sure you're not compromised. And not just you, but anybody else who's accessing the broadband. If you've got a family with kids, or anybody else, or you're living with flatmates, you got to make sure that what they're accessing can't compromise what you're doing as well.
Yeah. Well, generally a lot of those, like, we're in a, being in a payments company, we're in a fairly locked down security environment.
Yeah.
But so there's, we can't do that, you know. But and we stopped using shared devices a number of years ago. But it is a problem for businesses that if you know people are logging in from. If you think about it, back in the day, people were logging in from internet cafes and stuff to do work. You can't do that anymore in a corporate environment. Just not a good thing to do.
And also, if you're in a cafe going online, you can't guarantee that you're accessing authenticated, for example, maybe Starbucks or coffee shops Wi-Fi. It could be someone that's spoofing their Wi-Fi you're accessing. You just don't know.
And somebody could be screen scraping the whole session, so they've taken everything they've done. You know, and it needs to be your own device. People are pretty fussy about their mobile phone. We'd have a remote wipe capability on our phones. Yeah. If I lost my phone, there's a really long password that I hate having to put it in. I only have to put it in if the battery dies.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's Face ID. But if my phone was lost, I'm quite happy nobody's going to get into it.
Yeah, you know? Me too, because I've got the ability that I can wipe my phone from my Mac as well pretty easily. So that happens. That's fine. It's wiped out. And if they can't access that, they can't access my last iCloud settings, which is all my stuff is saved every day in iCloud. If it's wiped, they can't access that because there's no way of getting in. So if I was to go and get a new phone or replace it, I can go back and just go, just say, this is me, and you know who I am, and download my iCloud, my settings. I'm safe. But at times, people might realize how that works, but it's simple enough to do and set up.
Yeah, it is. And in a corporate environment, there's a bit more to it, but it's same idea. You can just wipe the phone. But it'd be pretty difficult, if not impossible, to get into it anyway.
Yeah.
You know. So and that's the way we all need to move towards password protected screens on your laptops, on your phones, not 1234 or 0000, and just make it really, really difficult for these people to thrive.
And also as well, you got to make sure that no matter where you are, you always assume that you could be breached. So always act as if I could be breached anytime now. So you're always aware of that.
Yeah, there's always somebody out there trying to get at you, you know, and it's like the whole thing to talk about airport security, you know, they need to be right every time.
Yeah.
Because you let one person through, it could be a disaster. So you have to be on your toes all the time.
I'm talking about airports. There's a scam that's coming around at the moment that's mainly on social media. And it's a website. It's a scam that says Dublin Airport has excess luggage, people who didn't pick it up. So for $1.99, you can actually pay and get one of these suitcases. And then you pay maybe 7 or 8 euro more at delivery fee. So under tenner, you're getting a suitcase. Now, I know that it's fake, by the way. I can tell it's fake because nobody in the airport will do that kind of same thing where they're going to have that. I've had luggage lost before, years ago, the airport. And now the airport's suddenly going to sell it off. So I said, no, it's not happening. And a friend of mine when working airports mentioned on Facebook, the scam's going around, it's not real. So you get that. And because it's under a tenner, people think they're getting a bargain as an under 10 year. What you're doing is you're giving them access to your financial details.
Mm. Yeah, no, and again, that's in the if it's too good to be true, it's just not true.
Yeah. You know?
And like I have seen a lot of baggage around airports unclaimed.
Yeah.
I don't know how long they do keep them for, but yeah. I'd imagine it's a long time.
Yeah.
I don't know if they'd ever sell them off. I don't know what they do, but it's a strange one. I mean, there's a lot of those things, and like when you do a Google search for, if you're looking for a product, you know, I always find if it's too cheap, you know, you go into it and it's just not real.
Yeah, you know? I've seen ads on Facebook, and it's on the Facebook marketplace, and someone's selling a Rolex for €200, and you're going right away, okay, that's obviously a Rolex. Of course it is. So you're either stolen in the back of a lorry, which you probably didn't happen, or it's a fake. Yeah. And you're getting that. People are, and around Christmas time or someone's birthday, you're more inclined to go and buy that. Christmas, yeah, I'll get a present. That's €200. That's not much. I'll go and buy the watch. And then they buy it. And it's not what it claims to be, or it doesn't arrive. You'll get that as well.
Yeah, probably just won't arrive.
Yeah.
It's certainly not on the wane. It's increasing, if anything. If I randomly look at my text messages, I'm looking there. I've had them from On Post. I've had them from Revolut. I've had them from the government. About the energy. The money you're getting back on your electricity.
Yeah, I've had that as well. My last one I got was last Friday about PTSD. There was unusual activity on my card, and I got two texts from that PTSD. But I'm not with that bank. You get that, and I'm thinking, okay, you're just assuming I am with you. Oh, with these guys.
No, and I get the Vodafone, your mobile SIM will be disabled. Yeah. You know, and it's asking me to go to online-billpayable.com to accept. Like, what the hell is that? You know, like if it was Vodafone.ie, I'd go, all right, okay, I'll have a look at that. That's the key thing. You look at the context, you look at the URL, if you click on it and you're doing anything involving payments, it needs to be HTTPS link.
I got one last November from my bank. Well, said it was my bank. Now, it wasn't my bank, but said it was. And it came via text and it came via with a phone number. And then they go, that's not my bank. Because the bank wouldn't use my phone number to text me. They'd use something that's more official than that. And when you get a message from your bank and it's a mobile phone number and it just says 086, whatever it is, 0453216. And you don't know who that number is. That's not your bank. Your bank will never do that. They'll probably have software in the bank that will send you out an SMS or MMS from them, and it will say A or B. But when you get it from a mobile phone number right away, you know that's not the bank or your bank or anybody else. You know it's not them. Can't be them.
No, and it's worth being careful of the. It's easy enough to spoof. An MSISDN, or so the caller line ID, and it's easy enough to put in the name that you see.
Yeah.
When it doesn't come in, when it comes in, like it's easy enough to put that in. So I wouldn't even take it as a given if it came from.
No, I agree. Yeah, but I've never got a text that says my bank. They've always been a mobile phone number. I never got anything, but I guess you can get a time when they might actually try and spoof that. So since it's AIB or Bank of Ireland or wherever it is, that can happen now and again. But I never got those. But I presume that will happen eventually. You'll get that. The only way to check, he said, for is check the URL. And then the URL will tell you. You can look at it. And if it doesn't say, it hasn't got a .ie in the URL and from Irish company, then you know it's not legit.
Yeah.
Because On Post will not use .com. Something like BBC On Post won't use .com or revenue.ie. Nobody uses revenue.com. So you know that because the .ie website address, it's hard to purchase in .com. So you know, if it doesn't say .ie and it's revenue or something or government, you know it's a scam.
Yeah. No, and it's there's one thing, and And I think it's a message that I'd taken on a couple of years, about 5 years ago, and is that really, when it comes down to thinking about identity theft, I mean, that's the biggest problem.
Yeah.
And I worked in a business a number of years ago where we had solutions to try and identify identity theft. And the more I learned about it, the more I got paranoid myself. I bought myself a shredder. And I know this sounds real tinfoil hat stuff. But I tend not to throw anything in the bin that has my name and address on it. And I'll stick it in the shredder. And I think that's where we're at. You know, I'd never, back in the day, you know, the biggest source of identity theft was people rummaging through your bin.
Yeah.
Pull out a bank statement, or you pull out detail on there, name, address, bank account number. So you're three quarters way there.
Yeah, I think right now we should be looking at old school with new school. So if you use old school technology, the scammers won't be able to deal with that because they're not used to that.
Yeah, so there's sort of a load of different things. Yeah, so the text is one thing, but you know, protecting your own data and making sure you get smarter about where you're registering your details and who you're registering them with.
Yeah.
You know, and keep it limited to the couple of utilities and people you trust, you know.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, you know, my Netflix subscription, I think they have my email address, but I don't need to have my address or any other.
No, they won't do that. I mean, I've had stuff before where I get all these different things, and I'm thinking, how many times a month will I get a scam saying I got this, I got that, and I'm up with a company like DHL, I get them all the time, Netflix, Revolut. That's very popular now, Revolut one, and I'm thinking, I haven't got that. People are using it more and more, Revolut, and because of that, they're assuming you're going to have that.
And come here, it's inevitable. Some of these big players that we all have our details with are going to get compromised at some point.
Yeah.
And you know, we just need to have our own work practices in shape that there isn't too much damage can be done on the back of that.
Well, the problem for me is, if somebody big gets hacked, how long is it before they announce they've been hacked? If someone got hacked last Friday and they announced in the media today, oh, we got hacked last Friday, I trust them more because they told me we got hacked. And this is what we're doing to prevent damage and make sure it won't happen again. Whereas I've seen in the past people have been hacked, and it took them about a couple of years. Like Yahoo got hacked years ago. It took them 2 years to announce they got hacked. And at that point, Yahoo at that point owned Flickr, which is an online suppository for photographs. And then from that, they could access your account details. So I'm thinking, hold on. For 2 years, you've known it, and you've told nobody about this. This is going to go worldwide. Or you get that happening. Or years ago, there was the online dating site Ashley Madison got hacked. And people who were on that were people who didn't want people to know I'm on this website, because it's where you go to have an affair online, get somebody to have an affair. So suddenly, that's been compromised. Suddenly, you're screwed, because people have details about you that they shouldn't have.
Mm. Yeah, and I think the regulation around that is a lot tighter than it was, say, 10 years ago. You know? So I think companies are a lot more stringent in their own internal securities. But, you know, it does happen, you know.
Yeah.
And the black hats out there are working every day to try and get around things. And you always have to try and stay a step ahead of them. But I suppose our job is just to keep making it harder and harder. And it's all, again, it's all about education.
Yeah.
Context. Knowing what looks good, what looks bad. And because the one thing is certain is we're all going to be hit and continue to be hit.
Yeah.
Several times a week by these things.
And lastly, as well, I also mentioned that if somebody basically has got an Apple product, they automatically assume we're less likely to get attacked. That's not the case. No matter what device you're using, there could be a way to get by it. So make sure that you still use the same precautions you would in the workplace.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And yeah, and all the time, even when you go online onto any website, I always have just a slight suspicion every time I'm going to any new company that I haven't dealt with before, any new place I haven't bought from before. You know, you give it a look. Reviews are very important.
Yeah.
You know, if you're buying something online, always look for the reviews and maybe hit the negative ones first.
Yeah.
You know, because if there's only a couple of positive ones, they're probably not real.
Yeah, and so, if there's negative ones, you can spot within a minute if it's a competitor doing that, dissing them. That happens as well. Like, especially with restaurant reviews. You're going to look at a restaurant and you want to see what it's like, and you go online and see the website and see the menu. This is great. And you go and check reviews and TripAdvisor, whatever. And then suddenly you see like people saying the food wasn't great. And you can spot within 2 minutes by language they're using that as competitor, and that's not a genuine person.
Yeah. No, so I think people just need to be more savvy, a bit more due diligence about new people you deal with, just think twice. What's the old story? Cut one, measure twice and cut once.
Yeah. And also, make sure that you, whatever you're doing, that you got to assume that the whoever you're actually, assume that they know when you know. So you got to make sure you do diligence. Say it's a new company you said you're dealing with. You got to assume you don't know anything about them. So do your due diligence and make sure everything on that. So if somebody emailed from that company, make sure that person exists. And sometimes you get a scenario where the person name is spelled wrong. That to me is a big no-no. Or the language that we use, if they're pretending they're an Irish-based person and the spelling is Americanized, you know right away, that's not them.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, anything is not right.
Yeah.
You need to straight away assume it's a scam. I mean, I get emails in, you know, with a D added onto the end, and Donald, you know, a lot of times, that can be legitimate, but straight away I'd be on guard. It's interesting. It's certainly not going away. I'm sure it's just going to get more and more sophisticated, and we just need to keep our own sort of work practices more and more locked down, you know.
Yeah, I guess as we're basically more and more work from home and more using smartphones and tablets, it's going to be more prevalent. And also, lastly, before we finish off, just mention as well, if you have an IoT device in your house, make sure it's not set in default password, because I've heard of guys that have been hacked at a smart toaster or a smart fridge and haven't changed the details.
Right. Okay. I haven't got any smart things at home at the moment yet.
Just myself. That's about it.
I've been thinking about it actually. But I need to think about all that. But I've a proper Wi-Fi network at home that's proper security on it. And
well, you had to because of the job you do. And it'd be funny if somebody who's very secure on what they do in the work, and they come home and the system is so lax. That's not going to happen. You know that.
Yeah, no, I put in a proper, it's like it's a corporate Wi-Fi type solution around the house.
That's good. That's what you need to do. And I mean, more people should be doing that. And they should be taught in the workplace how to set up a proper secure home system so that when they work from home, the boss knows there's little chance of you getting hacked. You can't guarantee what happened. But the chances are greatly decreased if you're getting hacked.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I've often thought there's a great business in there for somebody that, I think somebody referred to it to me before as digital gardening.
Yeah.
Back in the day, the old man used to go out and spend the weekend fixing up the garden.
Yeah.
Now he spends the weekend trying to figure out how to sync up all the remote controls and get the Sonos working and get the alarm working and get the smart this, smart that. And it's a bit of a nightmare. And God knows what it'd be like if you weren't tech savvy, you know?
Yeah.
So, and again, that's what people assume and that's what they prey on.
Yeah, because they're assuming if you're an older person, they assume you're not tech savvy. Like I remember a few years ago one of my colleagues, Simon Cochrane, did an interview with the late John McPhee. And John McPhee, he was on talking about basically about security. And he says, what I'd love to do, I'd love to go to Pornhub. And he goes, why? Because when you go in there, you've got the ability to download movies. Most movies you download from there have gotten them a virus on them. And that's where I find the latest virus. Because people are again, it's a human, it's one of the human traits, lust. So they want to download something. I go in there and I download, and I could. That's where I find the latest virus. So
I wouldn't. I wouldn't download anything.
Even neither would I. But I mean, people are doing that, and that's one thing, because human nature. People do these things. They're stupid. Mm. Do things, and next thing you know, that's where you find us. So basically, whenever you're out and out. Treat wherever you're using Wi-Fi as a real world. In the real world, nothing is safe, nothing is secure. You got to assume, as I said before, you're going to be breached, or you have been breached. What you need to prevent it getting worse.
And that's, I think that's the way you need to think going forward. Sure.
So anyway, on that note, I'll say thanks for a great interview, Donald, great podcast, and talk to you again soon, and take it easy and have a good, and hopefully this year you have a great year.
Yeah, and you, Ronan. Thanks. And I hope you have a great 2024.
Thank you. Cheers.
Thank you for listening to the latest Irish Tech News podcast. Check back every day for the latest episode. You can follow us on Twitter @Irish_Tech News, on Facebook, facebook.com/Irish Tech News, on LinkedIn, linkedin.com/company/Irish-Tech-News, on Instagram, instagram.com/IrishTechNews.ie, and on TikTok, tiktok.com/@IrishTechNews.